The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to The Bright Side and issue number 130. And what's the name of this one, John?
This is called A Bold New Direction.
The Bold New Direction, and we get into that right away.
It is so bold, I don't even want to tease it here. Like, I don't even want to give anything away. It is so bold that I was going to tell you that we should actually think about rebooting the show and starting over at number one. I know. I am not a reboot guy, but...
Oh, wow. Yeah. I didn't know that.
I don't want to undersell the boldness here.
We just talked for over 2 hours. We have a lot to get. We get to Falcon, Winter Soldier, and Kryptonite. Lots of good conversation there, but tons of books this week. Limited checkout because of the bold change. Yeah. But you just dropped that on me now that you want to go back to number one? I got to wait till next week to talk about that. But hey, let's get him into the store. Hey, John, how are you doing? This is crazy.
I know. It's like still light outside. I don't even know what to do.
This is weird. It's a Tuesday. We're recording. Yep. And as you can tell, the background, there's not as many people in the store right now.
Yeah, it's not a Wednesday.
So this is weird. It's like, we don't have the normal crowd gathered around us at the open of the show that we would normally have. Just a few people, and they all just left. You see how quickly they just ran right out of the store.
We scared them off.
But, I don't know, since our conversation last week, our conversation in the podcast about what we're going to do, we're thinking that this could be... something new, John. I mean, what was the quote that you said today? A bold new direction. Bold new direction, or maybe a bold new world, John.
You're trying to combine two shows.
I know. I'm setting something up. Do you trust me, John?
Sure.
A whole new world.
John, a fantastic point of view. No one can tell us no or where to go. Here's your part.
I don't know what we're doing. I missed the bit. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I need you to pause for a second. My store's calling me. This is what happens when we record when my store's still open.
All right. And we're back.
Yeah.
John had to take that call because he is literally still working.
Yeah, so we're still open.
It's a busy time, even though it's only Tuesday. But, John, let's let everybody know what our plans are. We're actually thinking of doing this for good.
Yeah, I think the only thing that changes for the show in a meaningful way is the checkout books, which we normally do on Wednesday. You know, we read them on Wednesday and talk about them that night. And I think what we're going to do going forward is just spotlight, we'll plug two books that come out tomorrow that we're going to read, and then we'll talk about them on checkout next week. I think this actually benefits us in the speculator roundup portion of the show, though, because for those that listen to the show now, first thing Wednesday morning, you can actually get into your store and act on.
Yeah.
Some of those things that are on there rather than hearing it a day after.
It's one of those things that, I don't know. We always wanted to get the stuff out timely. That's why we did Thursday. Right. But even Thursday wasn't very timely.
Yeah.
But we got to talk about books. But if you'd already been to your store, you're not going till next week anyways.
Right.
So,
and again, a lot of times the things that are hot books on a Wednesday, you've missed them. I mean, you've already missed them by Thursday morning. They're gone. At least now Number one, you're incentivized to listen to us as soon as humanly possible, which should be your default.
Right. Anyways. Absolutely. I mean,
but you know, yeah. If it's not, now you
kids
get
crying
actionable.
Us. That's it.
Exactly.
I mean,
you get actionable intel that you can use before your store opens on Wednesday morning. So
right.
It's a win-win for everybody. Plus, you know, we don't have to stay up till 2 a.m.
I know this. It's weird. It's. I mean, yeah. I don't know what to do.
Well,
John.
You more than me. Like you
right.
know, I'm done around midnight, and then you go.
Yeah,
for
but
a couple
I know
more
that
hours.
You were sympathetic. You stayed up. With
I was.
Me.
I did. It's like it's like sympathetic contractions or whatever. Like I was in labor with right. you. You know, I sat.
The
I
pain.
Sat up. Yep. I sat up watching TV, and I was just miserable knowing you were working.
Early on, I used to text you when I finished. I get
know.
A text like...
Just to make sure that I was still up, too.
6 hours later. Yeah, yeah. That's nice.
Yeah, because I had been asleep. My phone's on Do Not Disturb after
yeah.
10 p.m., so you could text all you want.
Yeah, they were early on podcasts. Yeah. You know this, the early on podcasts. I was up until... Jen leaves for work at like 6:30 in the morning, and
like
I'd still be up
yeah.
in the early because I had no idea how to get this stuff up, and I'm like, I gotta get it out. Why?
Well, yeah,
I don't know.
And you refuse to let it go up like a day later. So
we're gonna lose our two listeners.
Exactly.
They won't know where we are.
Our tens of YouTube viewers. You
yeah.
know,
hey,
don't
no.
want to disappoint. Anybody. So.
Yeah, and I mean we didn't plan this or anything. It just I mean my hockey league changed and I was mad at my league, not my league, but I was like, I was frustrated. But then the more you and I talked about it, we were like we both were thinking about it all week, like, wait a
yeah,
minute,
I think
this
kind of
makes
be better.
Sense.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens and hopefully it all works out. I think I mean this week is going to be a little bit different. We have some good, we have a lot of news, not a lot of news, but we have some good news, some discussions coming up. We have a
yeah.
lot of books to talk about.
Yeah,
we have a lot of speculator this week, too.
Yeah, the only thing we really don't have this
is
week
checkout.
Is checkout. And we'll have that next week. So,
yeah.
You know, this week, and we took, you know, I mean, to be fair, we told everybody last week that
yeah.
this week would be a bit of a, you know, a bit of a different show, so. In reality, it's almost exactly the same.
Right.
You know, we're just really just missing the checkout.
Yep.
So.
And we're going to have, I mean, obviously we'll get into Falcon Winter Soldier today. We'll get into
yep.
Invincible. I got some questions for you on that one, but we'll probably
yep.
do all of that in Kryptonite. And yeah, let's get to it. Let's have some fun.
All right.
What do we got? Oh, actually, before
yeah.
we get to all of that. I was given a big market tease.
Oh yeah, you were.
I'm like, all
I
right, John.
Forgot.
Nothing goes smoothly in life, John.
Yeah.
What happened on Sunday? And
yeah,
I'm on the edge of my seat here.
Well, because we were talking before the show about how you know nothing's ever like you think something's going to be super easy,
right?
And it never is. So I had a little project to do. Actually, let me back up a second because I'm pretty sure you know this about me. We've been friends for a long time. I'm a man of many talents. Like, and I mean like so many talents. Like I'm just like brimming with talents. But one of the things that is not a talent for me is working with power tools. So,
uh-oh.
I had a little project on Sunday that should have been pretty simple to do and turned out to not be the case. So
oh,
I bought some outdoor.
You didn't hurt yourself, did you?
Well, a little boo-boo on my finger, but other than that, okay. I got a little owie on my thumb. I drilled into it, but other than that, I'm good. But anyways, I bought some outdoor shades for my patio. You know, because we sit out there, we have a TV out there, and sometimes if it's the afternoon, we're trying to watch TV. The sun's coming down, and like you know, you just can't really see what you're doing. So I bought some shades. So it's just like putting shades up on your windows in the house, except they're 8 feet long. You have two brackets, one on each side with two screws that hold each bracket in. So
now, is it just you? Where's Lydia?
Lydia was helping me.
Oh, okay.
But we're talking a total of 8 screws.
Well, and
like,
the one in your thumb.
Yeah. I'm like, how long can this take, right? It should be super easy. But, you know, I've got like not the best drill on the market, let's put it that way. And I didn't realize until I was doing this that, you know, I was trying to drill into hardy plank, not necessarily wood. So it's a little bit harder to get through. So, yeah, this just turned into, like, a major excursion to try to get these 8 screws put in. To the point where after about an hour and a half and after I had slipped with the drill and, like, went into my thumb a little bit, my wife went and asked the neighbor for like a proper power tool.
Right.
And
what did you have? This, like you had
a little
cordless.
Black and Decker, like yeah, Black, it's a little and, Black Wrecker, and Decker, yeah. Like, you know, $60 cordless drill that, you know,
no
is barely good enough to hang pictures in the house. Just did not have what it
That's
did not have what
drilling
it takes.
Into drywall.
Yeah. Didn't have what it took to put these things up into the hardy plank. But once I got the proper tools, you know, we got it done in about a half an hour or so. Everything turned out great. But,
oh, tools
you
are
know,
everything.
I was just like, just telling my wife, I was like, you know, we came home from breakfast. I was like, let's just put these things up. They just showed up from Amazon. It should only take, it's 8 screws. How long can it take? A half hour? You know, it took us like 3 hours to put these things up. So, that's, you know, I mean, and to be fair, right, like, it wouldn't be fair for me to be able to do that, too, like, with all the other talents I have. Like,
right.
I can't be good at power tools. Like, even Superman has kryptonite. Like,
right. Power tools are your kryptonite.
Yeah, it can't be everything, so. But yeah, I was like, this is just, like, I was so miserable, you know. And one thing you do actually know about me is, like, I'm not the most patient guy in the world. So.
And you're super stubborn, too.
Yeah. So, like, I was going to finish. Great. No, I was to finish no matter what. But, like, I'm trying to do it. Like, the drill's not working, so I'm trying to screw it in with, like, a screwdriver. And, like, I'm just wrecking my hands because I can't turn the screws into the hardy plank.
I'm just picturing you, like, yelling at Lydia and suggestions.
Yeah, I know, right? It's like, she's like, I'm going to go ask the neighbor for a drill. And I'm like, don't do that, you know. But then I was like, well, yeah, why don't you go do that? So.
That's the hardest part, is when you have to succumb to what you said not to do.
Exactly.
Like,
So that was my fun Sunday afternoon.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
God. That's my life in general.
Well, I know.
Like we were saying about the podcast, like, excuse me, I'm going to go try something, and I'm going to basically set us back months.
Right. Hey, Jen, I'm going to be gone for like 6 hours. I'm going to go try something real quick.
Oh, that's happened on so many occasions.
Yeah.
Daily, actually.
Yeah.
I'll be right back. The next
she's
morning.
Like, what she's happened? Like, I'm going to bed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's.
I'll see you tomorrow.
No word of a lie. That's not even a joke. I'll be like, I'll think of something while we're watching TV. That's why I don't get to watch anything like you do.
Right.
My mind just goes and I'll be like, all right, I think I could try this. I'll come down. Next thing you know, like literally 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm getting to bed. What happened?
Right.
Didn't work the way I thought.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Oh, well. And that goes for anything. Podcasting, home theater, anything I do, my car, anything. Yeah.
It's like nothing's ever easy. Like, I don't know why things can't be easy.
One of the
funniest
of the funniest stories. Joe and I laugh. He's in the middle of a project right now with his car, with his truck, putting a suspension in it and stuff. And I'm like, just beware the way we do things. And my dad knows this, and we're all David Briggses. But Joe has I have a story of Joe when he was a little kid, and he had a paintball gun, and he wanted to add some parts to it and upgrade some things. I go, well, just use YouTube, take it apart, do it yourself. He was probably 12 years old, whatever.
Right.
He did the whole thing, took it, he's all punch. We go out on the deck. He gets ready to fire it. I took it. I was like, on a Bugs Bunny. Oh, God. Yeah, click.
It backfired in his face.
No, what funnier, the paintball rolled out.
Oh.
But he had put a longer barrel on it too. So I go, well, it went further because of the barrel. He went click, and the paintball like rolled out the fell out.
It's like mousetrap. It's like going down and up and knocking down.
It literally rolled
and...
out the end of the barrel onto the deck. We both looked at it on the deck. And I just fell down laughing like I am right now. I was like, he was so proud. He's like,
that's pop. Awesome.
He's like, I don't know. I go, look it up. But he solved it. He figured it out.
Right.
He had to take it all apart. Just like anything you do, you know, when you do stuff like that, you have to figure, all right, go each step and find that one part that you put in. Like, it doesn't look backwards, but maybe it's backwards or the spring wasn't connected or whatever it was. But... that was his first foray into engineering.
Right.
It's like, well, we love that story. It's like,
well, and he took it up for a living, so.
Yeah, yeah. Well, basically, same thing happened when I just built my new computer that I have here. We're all proud. We're like, yeah, ready to go. Turn it on. Nothing.
Nothing.
We looked at each other. We're like, well, paintball didn't fall out.
It's like, did you plug it in?
Yeah, no, we were checking that. You do everything. I mean, oh,
yeah.
So funny. Nothing's easy. Anything worth doing is worth doing well. And that's what
Or like for a long time.
Time. Yeah. Yeah. Oh man. All right. That was a fun sidetrack on a Tuesday. See what happens when we know what we may still be up till 2.
We might. We might.
Oh. All right. Well, it is National Prime Rib Day and I've got one in the oven. So.
Oh, nice. Nice.
But we got to hurry this along. I'm just kidding. No, it takes 2 hours to roast. So, all right, we ready to get to our breaking news or our breaking news section?
Yeah, yeah. All right, mild spoiler, I guess, for Falcon and Winter Soldier. But you have to be living under a rock by now to not know this.
Well, it's in the news. I mean, it literally is out there.
But like literally hours after Falcon, you know, the finale of Falcon Winter Soldier, this news broke that Captain America 4 feature film is in development, of course, with Anthony Mackie as Captain America.
Yep.
Also to be written by the writers from the series Falcon and Winter Soldier, which is actually now Captain America in the Winter Soldier because they changed the title at the end. But yeah, so that's pretty cool. I like how they keep things under wraps, you know what I mean? Like, this probably was known even back when they did their investor day call. Remember we talked about how, oh, well, they had this call with all this news, but hey, they didn't talk about Moon Knight, but then it still came like the week later. So they probably knew Captain America 4 was in development back then during that call, but waited until, you know, this show aired to announce it. So I think that's pretty cool the way they did that.
Well, because, yeah, and it's, I mean,
you know, obviously if you announced Captain America 4 back in like last December,
right, everybody wants to know who's Captain America.
There's not much tension building through.
Yeah, we got a 50-50 shot of being right. It's like,
but what it makes me wonder now, like, we knew that WandaVision was leading directly into Doctor Strange, like we knew that before we even watched it, but we didn't necessarily know that this was setting up like Captain America 4. So now I'm wondering what other announcements we may, like, what might we get after Loki airs? Or, you know, maybe we get a Time Authority movie in development, or, you know, who knows what we get after Moon Knight airs. So
yeah.
I think that's pretty cool that even though there's a slate of things that we know about, and of course, we don't know when this is going to take place. This movie might be 3 years away. You know, we don't know, but.
Oh, yeah, well.
But I think it's just cool that as each show airs, like, we could be getting more announcements of even more movies. And
well,
coming,
I thought I read someplace it's coming out in a couple of years right after Black Widow.
Yeah, that makes sense.
right after the next Black Widow. No problem. We'll get it more into Captain America and the Winter Soldier.
We will,
Well, actually, as we speak right now, without spoilers, it's still Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So
you're right, it is.
We're jumping to the end credits.
We've jumped to the end credits, but again,
right.
It aired three days
it's
ago.
It's in the news.
It's like literally everywhere. Like, Hasbro Marvel Legends toys were popping up on Friday. Like,
right.
Like, everything was there. Now, once again, I saw him in costume well before I had a chance to watch the episode, which kind of ticked me off.
We'll talk about that in a little bit.
There's just no chill. Yeah. Like, there's no chill on the internet, you know?
It's no. Oh, no, everybody thinks they're like
you're not
ABC
up at
News,
6 a.m.
breaking.
Yeah, you're not watching this at 6 a.m.? Well, too bad, because here's all the spoilers.
Hey, everybody, so, our section, breaking news, that's like, ironically, this is not breaking news.
Yeah, this is, like, I'm John Oliver. This is like last week tonight, you know?
Right, exactly. So, I know, it's funny, people, I see that too. Every now and then you'll scroll through Twitter and they'll, come on, people, really? Yeah.
Like
that,
give it at least,
like day
give
up.
Give it a couple of hours at least, you know?
I like when people make the comments, and I mean, I'm not even being facetious. I really do like when they're like right after they see the show, they'll put out a spoiler-free, like, I really like that. I can't wait to talk about it with more people, or just stuff like that, not the... Hey, you know, like, and they'll give something away. Like, can you believe they did that with the Shield?
Yeah, I don't mind. What? I don't mind a spoiler-free review of something before I've seen it, but...
Right.
You know, but spoiler-filled is, you know, kind of...
I like when... Have you seen when people, like, on Twitter, they'll say, spoilers, really great spoilers below, and then you literally have to scroll down to see what they're talking about. So
yeah,
you can't just scroll by
too.
This and see it, which is cool. I like that, too.
You know, in this case, it was just literally the picture. Like, I couldn't avoid the picture. Like, I saw the picture before I even had a chance to read any of the the text. And it's, you know, Sam in the... Well, again, now we're spoiling it, too. But Sam in the costume. Which, now, again, it looks just like the comic costume, honestly. Like, it... You know, it wasn't
we're
going to
get
seeing...
into that now? Okay.
Well, I'm just saying, it wasn't like I was seeing something I hadn't already seen, but I was a little irritated that it was, like, really unavoidable. Like, there was no way for me to miss it, except just to stay off the internet. But, you know,
well,
again...
On YouTube, we have the image of him in the costume up.
Yeah, but, you know, being,
faded.
You know, at work, you know, I do scroll through Facebook for messages and things like that for the store, and it's like, I do have to be online. It's almost impossible to just... avoid the internet altogether. So, but yeah. Anyways, back to the news. Captain America 4.
Yep. So. Looking forward to it as always.
Yep. As always. All right. Another bit of Marvel news. Russell Crowe, I guess, took a nod from Alfred Molina, and revealed his role in the upcoming Thor: Love and Thunder. So it looks like Russell Crowe will be playing Zeus. This is really cool because for those that aren't like really steeped in mythology, it was always one of my favorites, but Zeus is not a Norse god, like Odin and Thor are. Zeus is a Greek god. So, it looks like we're going to have the other pantheon of gods, making an appearance, leading to speculation that we may see Hercules, who is a, you know, who is a main character in the Marvel comics.
Hercules.
And yeah, won't be Eddie Murphy. you know, Hercules always, not always, but frequently appears alongside Thor in the comics, sometimes as like a rival and sometimes as an ally. So, it'd be interesting to see where they're going with that.
I mean, they can write in whatever they want. Doesn't have to be the exact gods. It's not factual, John.
Well, true.
Not a historical document.
It's not historically accurate. I know we're recording. Right. I'm not looking at my phone for personal use. I'm getting ready for the next news story, for those that may be wondering.
Oh, okay.
So the next news story, there was a study conducted...
I have more information on this too. Go ahead, keep going.
You have more information on what?
This story.
On this study?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, this one done like every year.
So, I know, but this study was conducted by the esteemed and highly respected UK website Game. Who analyzed Google search volumes across the world and determined that Marvel's heroes are more popular than DC's heroes. I thought this would be a fun thing to discuss a little bit. But according to this, Marvel takes the lead in 51 countries across the world.
Well, Now, do you disagree with that?
I don't necessarily disagree with that in the sense that if we're basing this survey solely on Google searches, like Marvel is definitely more prolific in the social consciousness with all of their movies and, you know, Disney and all of this stuff. I mean, if you were to ask me, like, I could debate all day long whether Marvel is more popular than DC, but if we're looking at Google search results, which I don't know if that, like, I don't know that that is, like, the most accurate way to determine something's
right.
popularity. But according to this, Marvel, like I said, takes the lead in 51 countries, the majority of which are the United States, India, and Brazil. India and Brazil coming in second and third place, respectively. DC has their biggest representation in South Korea and other countries such as Russia and China. So that's interesting. Like those same like if we were going to say the movies are what drives the Google searches, that would also be the case in China and Russia and South Korea. So
in China, think. Russia, and South Korea, which is more popular there?
DC.
DC is more popular.
Yeah.
There. And this was just done more like
this
was
very
right
recent,
now.
Yes.
Right. Now. So you have. Yeah. I mean, you could make the case that the one that has the most searches is the one that's the least popular. I don't have to Google search Spider-Man.
Right.
But I got if you introduce a new character that I'm not familiar with, I have to search it. Right?
Right.
So wouldn't that, I mean, we also just had the whole, you know, Snyder Cut come out and everything. So a lot of right. people are probably Google searching all of the stuff that showed up in that people had no idea about. And they want to get a little bit more of a backstory. And that's now we have all these people requesting the Snyderverse, which, in my opinion, that's even gone over the top now. But Marvel has way more movies out. Better
well, right, exactly.
quality. Yeah. It's I would say I don't think it's a stretch to say Marvel is the more popular right now.
Right.
But just finding the image to put up on YouTube for this, it was like which year? Oh, I had to keep clicking because every year it's DC is ahead of Marvel.
Yeah.
Marvel's ahead of DC. DC's ahead of Marvel. It's like just whichever way the wind is blowing at the time they did the, you know, and who they asked or what they used or right. what metric it is.
Well, here's some of the things I thought, again, you know, we'll take all this with a grain of salt, but based on the data that they used, breaking it down into the United States alone, Marvel is favored in 28 states, while DC favored, of course, in 22. The biggest Marvel state in the United States is California, with 52,000 searches per year, and the biggest DC state is Texas, with 40,000 searches per year. So
does that break down along party lines?
there's actually graphs and charts, like, it shows, like, where, which heroes are most popular in which area, like, there's a lot of information here. Again, breaking it down to, I'm sure you can guess, but if Marvel is the most popular brand, who would be their most popular hero?
All time, I would say Spider-Man, but as of this, Spider-Man. I would probably, is it really?
According
I wouldn't
data,
have been surprised
it's,
if they said Captain America or Iron Man because of the movie.
Right. So in 57 countries, Spider-Man reigns as the most popular hero. The number two, which is the DC character, only wins 15 countries. So that's a major difference, 57 countries versus 15. Now, if I were to ask you who the second most popular hero is and the number one DC hero, who would you guess?
Batman.
I would have guessed Batman as well, but we'd both be wrong. Wonder
Superman?
Woman. Wonder Woman is the
Wonder
number
Woman.
Two most popular
wow.
hero in the world. in 15 countries rather. Right behind that, rounding out the list, is Batman in 11 countries, Iron Man in 10 countries.
That's interesting. Even with Wonder Woman 1984 coming out?
I know, right? Now, on the villain side, this is also very interesting. With a grand total of 66 countries, who do you think is the most popular villain in the world?
Popular villain?
Yep.
Now, does that mean most hated or the one you'd most
Doesn't
want
say.
To beat?
It just says, it says X reigns supreme with 66 countries as their favorite villain. Yeah. So who would you think? So,
X reigns. It's got to be Magneto, no?
Thanos.
Reigns. Thanos?
Thanos reigns supreme in 66 countries. What? The number two villain...
Only because that's the one they know. It's got to be.
Maybe. The number
He's
two
the most
villain,
recent big baddie.
Is only tops in 21 countries. So this is a DC villain. Who do you think is the most popular DC villain?
Joker.
That's correct. And then rounding out
Nobody
the top
even
three,
still knows who Darkseid is.
Yeah. Rounding out the number three spot is Venom. In a grand total of 16 countries. So I don't know. I thought that was pretty interesting. Something we could definitely.
Yeah. No, that is interesting. It's
a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, that surprises me. Wonder Woman number two.
Me too. Number for a couple of reasons. Like, I would think that the difference between number one and number two in my mind would always be Spider-Man and Batman. And I would think the difference would be like, 2 to 3 countries, you know what I mean? Not 51 to 16. Like, that's such a giant difference. Because even if you would argue that Marvel is more popular than DC, I would still say the number one hero in the world is Batman, regardless of which company, you know what I'm saying? So to find out that Spider-Man has basically 4 times more popularity than... not even Batman, but Wonder Woman, who beats Batman. And I would never in a million years guess that Wonder Woman was more popular than Batman. So it's really interesting. Yeah, it's like when I was reading that, I was like, wow, I don't. That's why I wanted to bring it up because.
What did they do for. How did they measure that? Was that off of Google searches as well?
Just off of Google searches.
Oh, yeah. That's got. All right. That's why. Wonder Woman's the most recent movie, and people are. They were Google searching, like. Her, Cheetah, everything that went on in Wonder Woman 1984. Oh, it's the
maybe.
Most recent
but, I mean,
comic
got,
book movie.
You've got the Robert Pattinson Batman movie. You've got, you know, Ben Affleck and the Snyder
Cut. Yeah, but that's
like,
not
Batman's
out yet.
Still pretty prolific.
Right.
You know?
But that's still not out yet. You know, and people aren't. And again, that lends to the idea
well,
like
why
what
are you
I
searching
said.
Spider-Man Everybody... at this point either? You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing Spider-Man right now.
His movie's so... coming out later this year.
Well, right.
There
but
is
so
there.
Is
there's a lot of trailers. He's had trailers come out recently that they announced. Did they announce the name of it? They announced the name of it within the last 3 months. That he's got new trailers dropping in the last 3 months. Batman really isn't on the radar. If you do the same Google search come July, I'll bet you Black Widow's up there. You know, and. Who doesn't know? You're right. I mean, we know who Spider-Man is, but who doesn't know who Batman is? And what would make you search that right now? Why would you search
and
that?
And again, this is... I don't know that Google searches are, again, the most scientific method to determine these things, but I just
don't
thought it was really, really interesting data. Yeah, well, if you look at my Google searches, you're not going to be looking at superheroes, I'll tell you that. So... Well, maybe, because most of my searches are incognito, so the ones that are public might be Batman and Superman.
Right. Oh, Google, right? Yeah, Google. Yeah. Okay. Anyways. No, that was good.
Yeah.
That was good. That was good.
Really, really interesting.
All right.
All right. Let's see. What do we have next? So Mortal Kombat, of course, dropped on HBO Max.
Have
the
you
writer,
seen that yet?
Greg Russo, I have seen it, yes.
Oh, okay. Can't wait to hear.
Yeah, we'll,
I haven't.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in the real world. But yeah, so the writer, Greg Russo, has revealed plans for a trilogy of movies, which if you've seen this, you know it definitely leads into at least a sequel. But there are plans for three of these, depending on how they perform for HBO Max. And from all early indications, this thing is doing extremely well for HBO Max. So
cool.
I would think it's probably a foregone conclusion that we'll get a second and probably a third one of these movies. So
cool.
All right. And
I can't wait to hear what you think of that later.
Yeah, we will definitely talk about it.
All right.
And then last but not least, Game of Thrones House of the Dragon has officially begun production this week. So in just two or three short years, we should be seeing House of the Dragon premiering on HBO.
Judging by the tweet they put out, they went a little more modern than it was before. They're all just sitting around a boardroom.
Yeah, it's a table. It was a table read, basically.
It's like
that's the beginning
but
of production.
They all have their own desks.
Yeah. Well,
so they
each
get their own table because of COVID.
In a throwback to the original Game of Thrones series, I saw a lot of water bottles and Starbucks cups on that table.
Right, yeah. That was an homage.
So that was pulled directly out of season 8 of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I saw the tweet and I was like, eh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. I don't have anything else. So that should do it. We did get a lot of comments regarding your room, though, by the way.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. Yeah, we got Martin and Nick over there at Nerdy Legion. They talked about it. Nick even mentioned it in the Nerdy Legion podcast that came out this week. He's like, I really like that room.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
They were like, I'd like to podcast in that room. So, like, yeah, well. Quite the studio you've designed for yourself
it
there.
It is. It's not the studio of Justice.
Right.
It is my little slice of Star Wars heaven. So.
Yes. Yeah. More than a slice. It's like a big chunk.
It is a big chunk.
Yeah.
So.
All right. You ready to get to some comics? We got a lot of books, a lot of covers.
We do have a lot of books.
Covers.
Yeah.
The Boston accent. Covers. A lot of covers.
Yeah.
Covers.
A lot of covers.
Covers. All right, John.
We've got a lot of speculator books, a lot of back issue bonus. So.
Yep.
All right. Starting with speculator books, which again.
Well, do you want me to open it or are you just going to jump right into it? You're walking
this is going to arm you for your Wednesday. So.
Oh, okay. All right. What am I going to spend my money on this week?
All right, so the first book we're going to take a look at is Abbott 1973. Issue number 4 had a D cover that it was done by Jen Bartel, and that is selling for about $25, which is higher than the last few of these unlockable covers have gone for. So,
okay. Did you see this one? Is that's the black and white one, right?
Yes, should
okay.
be.
I got that one. Okay, got it right. I think I got most of these right.
Cool. All right. Alien, issue number 1, had a second print, came out today. What we're concerned with here is the 1 in 25 second print variant. That seems to be pretty scarce, which, again, for a second print is about right. But this one's selling for about $50, so that's quite high for this. The main cover for the second print is right at cover price, so not necessarily one to go out and grab. Next we have Black Widow issue number 6. This is the first appearance of a character called Lucy Wynn, and I guess she is a protege of Natasha, and so there's speculation that she may be showing up in future MCU projects. But yeah, this one, the main cover, it looks like it's selling for about $6 and trending up, but that's not too far off of cover price. But the 1 in 10 is selling for double ratio at $20, and the 1 in 25 variant is selling up over $60. So this is definitely one I think that people are specking on hard, because I had people today looking to get it added to their subs. And, you know, again, unfortunately, didn't know about this ahead of time.
Right.
And Black Widow not being one of my best sellers, you know, it got the Nightwing treatment this week, and, you know, I just don't have enough of these.
It is a good
even
book,
for the shelf.
I do enjoy the book.
Yeah, but it's just not a big seller, you know. And
right.
I definitely don't order enough copies for 10 new people to jump on the day before it comes out, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay, Berserker, issue number one, the third printing of this, following along the second print that did the same thing, was heavily allocated after orders were put in. And so this one is also climbing into the stratosphere price-wise. Now, this one actually is a little bit on the way down, because last week it was pre-selling for between $150 and $200 on eBay. Looks like there were some sales today for right around $100, but by the end of the day, these were averaging between $75 and $80. You know, again, this is just boom manufacturing collectibles. You know what I mean? It's like you allocate these things after FOC is done, and you know, we learned our lesson after the second print, and I did not have a bunch of people able to sign up for this because they knew we weren't going to get them. But I really dislike this trend that's starting to happen, where they did that. They did it with the Turtles too, with the Last Ronin, you know. And the whole idea of FOC is that we're supposed to be able to place our orders and ensure that we're going to get what we ordered.
Right.
So, but yeah, so this one here, if you can get one, I don't know of a store that has these for cover price. Like, after what happened with the second printing, they're going to be hard to get for less than $75 or $80, because again, most stores got a fraction of what they ordered.
The one I have pictured is the, it's the foil Mora variant for the third printing.
Yeah. For the third printing. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool cover, but yeah,
it's a very cool cover. But again, this isn't. I got all the first printings that you would ever want still on my shelf. So it's not that people want these because they want to read the book. Because if they want to read the book, I can give them a first printing all day long. It's people want these because Boom has manufactured a shortage in a collectible book. So it's kind of crazy, because true to form, Berserker number 2 comes out, and these are, once again, all selling below retail because there's just so many of them out there. This is, you know, I said it about Berserker 1. This is like the anti-spec book, you know. The main covers are selling below retail on eBay, and all the incentives are way below what their normal ratio would be. The 1 in 25 is selling for about $15. The 1 in 50 is right around $30. Now, what they did do was surprise us with two secret variants from the A cover. And these look to be about 1 in 10, I'm guessing. Although I got 3 of them off of 25 copies that I ordered. So 1 in 8 or so is what I got. But these are selling for between $40 and $50. So these are the most valuable books out of all the ratio covers, are these secret variants. So if you can find those, it's just basically the A cover, except it's black and white. Not every retailer is clued in on looking for these things.
I have the one I have is the 1 in 250 variant.
Oh,
that's what it was labeled as. I can't even imagine that exists.
Oh, I'm sure they're out there, but I didn't order that.
1 in 250?
I mean, issue 1 had a 1 in 1,000 variant, so
okay, maybe.
That's why these things aren't worth anything.
This is black and white, but it's 1 in 250. That's all I could find today for the cover. But
well, it might not even be out there yet, image wise, because again, it was a kind of a secret variant. But yeah, those are the ones to try to grab. And like I said, a lot of retailers don't spot the secret variants in the A cover because they just count their stack and stick them all on the shelf. These are pretty easy to spot, more so than a lot of them because they are black and white. But, you know, a lot of times these secret variants, if you're not really looking, you know, you won't catch them. But anyway, try to grab one of those if you can. Next, we have Geiger, issue number one. There's a second printing for this that also has a 1 in 25 variant. This seems to be pretty scarce as well. There's only two listings on eBay, and both of them are for $100 and up. That might be too high because they haven't sold at that, but one did sell a few weeks ago for $50, so it's probably somewhere in the $75 range, I would say, is an accurate price for that.
All right.
G.I. Joe, Real American Hero, number 280. There's an incentive, 1 in 10 incentive variant cover here with the Baroness on the cover. This is selling for double ratio at $20. So, about
it's
average.
A cool cover.
Yeah.
It's not my favorite out of the all the covers for that this week, but that's a cool cover.
Yeah. Oh, Baroness is a popular character, too. Nightwing 78 second printings came out today. These are still sitting right around cover price, but you know, the first printing was a heavy spec book, so this one could see some interest. Probably will end up over cover price before the weekend. If there's any still around by then, because again, a lot of people were looking to pick this book up and read it, so.
Yep.
Okay. Get on to that Nottingham story. Nottingham, issue number one. This is from Mad Cave Comics. This is the second print. It's going for between $40 and $100. That is, to me, insane for a second printing of a book that was open to order. Now, again, probably not a lot of these out there. Most stores didn't bite on the first printing, so they probably bit even less on the second printing. But yeah. $40 to $100 is kind of high. Once in Future, number 18, has a 1 in 25 variant selling for between $30 and $50. I'm going to try to speed through these a little bit quicker because there's a bunch. Robin, issue number 1. There's three first appearances here in this book. So right now the one to look at here is the 1 in 25 variant selling for about $35. But any of these covers, depending on what happens with these characters, could be good spec pickups, so probably worth grabbing.
Yep.
Silk,
yeah,
number
even,
two.
I have the 1 in 25 black and white one, too.
Yeah.
On YouTube. Yeah, that's Federici. What I'm looking at right now. Yep.
Yeah.
Federici.
Really cool cover.
Yeah.
Yep. Federici.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so I have all three
Silk,
covers up. Go ahead.
Silk, yep. Number two, has a Besh. Her name is Besh, I guess.
Yep.
Who's I guess is the new Peach Momoko.
Her
variant cover looks like it's selling for between $70 and $90. So definitely one to pick up until Besh starts to show up on every single book every
Your
month
toaster.
From Marvel. Yeah. And then they won't be worth $70 to $90
right.
anymore. Okay, this is one that you're not necessarily going to be able to just go in and buy off the rack, but Something is Killing the Children, number one. There's an eighth printing that came out today. It's selling for between $25 and $40, but you can't actually buy these off the rack. This is a promotion that's being done by Boom to facilitate the sales of Berserker 1 and 2. I don't necessarily get the tie-in between Something is Killing the Children and Berserker, but the way you get this book, and supplies are limited, so if you want these, I wouldn't necessarily wait all day to do it. You have to have bought Berserker number one from the store that you're frequenting. And then if you show proof of purchase of issue number one and you buy number two, you get a copy of this for free. So,
oh, wow.
So that being said, knowing that this is a $25 to $40 book, even if you haven't bought number one yet, most stores still have plenty. So if you walk into your store tomorrow and just buy one and two, you'll spend $8 and you'll still be able to get a copy of this for free. So But again, this is not, we don't have unlimited supplies of these. So if you want one, I would suggest being early at your store and, you know, be yep. prepared to buy issue number two and one if you haven't already.
John, it is a good thing that we're out on Wednesday morning this week.
It is, yes, because
we're making people money.
If this was a normal week, we would talk about this, but most stores would already be out of these, and so right. you wouldn't have the chance to get them. So
exactly. Look at us. I mean, could we just do and do and
I know.
Do.
I don't know if I can give more, honestly, than what I'm doing right now.
Can you imagine after hearing our podcast, imagine the crowds around the store, in the stores around the country? It's going to be crazy.
I know. Like, we should get, like, at least thank you cards from some of these stores helping them sell these books. Exactly. So,
I think John Romita Jr. is writing us one right now.
Yeah. We have The Marvels, issue number one. This is crazy high because no store literally is going to have these. But there's a 1 in 50 variant by Gabriel Del Otto here that's selling for between $150 and $175. If you're a store and you've ordered 50 copies of The Marvels, you got to be like a giant online retailer because otherwise nobody's selling 50 copies.
I like the 1 in 50 one, though. I do like that cover. Oh, it's pretty cool.
Del Otto is a great artist. Those covers are good.
Great cover.
This one's a little bit more in the realm of possibilities. The 1 in 25 Steve Epting variant selling for between $20 and $35. Those you may see in the store a little bit more readily than the 1 in 50s, but yeah, that's it for Speculator Roundup. So yeah, that was really a big week this week. A lot of books to look for.
I know.
A lot of books to look for today as you're listening.
Today. Yeah. So you know most people this week are probably looking for us on Thursday morning.
I know. They won't even see
it. I'll put out a big press thing in the morning on Wednesday to let everybody know. You know, big press.
Call the
release.
Media. Yeah, call the media. Get this out there.
Exactly. Exactly. So all right. You ready to get into our back issue bonus?
Yep.
And you could do this today. You could go into your store and get right to the back issue. Go there and get these books before the owner has the chance to listen to our podcast.
Exactly. Early bird catches the worm.
There you go.
All right. Marvel Comics Presents number 72. This is the first appearance of Weapon X, selling for between $60 and $125. So it's a big spread there, but condition, of course, plays a lot in that. Convergence Superman number 2. This is the first appearance of John Kent. We didn't talk about this yet, but Superman is relaunching this summer, the title, comic title. And Kal-El will no longer be Superman. John Kent is going to be Superman. And he's going to be the lead character in the Superman title. So that being said, this is his first appearance. It's now selling for between $50 and $60. So definitely check bins for these. This book was already probably a $20 book anyways, but you know now it's doubled to almost tripled the price of that.
Okay.
All right, Iron Fist Living Weapon number 1. This is the first appearance of Pi, I guess. Don't know why really, but this is selling for about $30. So,
and just to let everybody know, speaking of like you talking about Convergence being already $20 to begin with before this week, all of these covers that I put up here, they're all like the basic covers because a lot of these have variants to go along with them too. But I can't, while I was doing it, I'm like, I can't imagine those are going to be in the back issue bonus section.
Probably not.
Probably all worth something. Already.
Yeah, and in a lot of cases, it's actually the main cover that's more valuable, unless they're ratio variants, like 1 in 10s or 1 in 25s. But a lot of times, if they're like DC just does A covers and B covers, in most cases, people want the A cover. There's always outliers if the B cover is just a super cool cover. You know, sometimes that one's worth more. But in a lot of cases, the A cover is the one that ends up being more valuable anyways.
Right.
All right, Secret Warriors number 2. This is from 2009. This is the first appearance of Contessa as Madame Hydra. So I guess Contessa Valentina Julia Louis-Dreyfus is not a new character. She's been around for a long time, but this is her first appearance as Madame Hydra. That could be a distinction going forward in the MCU. It makes this $20 to $25 right now.
Okay.
So, Doom Patrol number 26. This is the first appearance of the Brotherhood of Dada. So apparently the Sisterhood of Dada has been confirmed for Doom Patrol season 3. I don't get the correlation between the brother. I guess that makes the Brotherhood. Maybe the Sisterhood doesn't appear in the comics and they're just changing it for the show.
Right.
The Brotherhood to the Sisterhood.
But in any case,
this is now about $25.
All right.
Speaking of the Doom Patrol show, we have Sandman number 25. This is the first appearance of the Dead Boy Detectives. They are also confirmed for Doom Patrol season 3. So that is also selling for between $25 and $60. Again, big range of pricing here.
And if you're looking for it, that's Sandman from number 20. That's from April 91.
Yeah, that's the original Neil Gaiman run. Yes.
Yeah. Is that the first? Because there was a run before that, I think. But that wasn't Gaiman? Is that true?
No, I think it was all Neil Gaiman. I just don't know. There's been a couple of different. I mean, Sandman, the main title.
Oh, okay. You're right. A bunch of issues.
Yeah.
Okay. There were just a few when I looked this up, and it was like this one just. There's a few number 25s.
So. Yes, because they've done other
other
runs after the fact. But the original run was probably in that range in the late 80s.
But yeah, this is the first Dead Boy Detectives or whatever. But yeah, that was in April of 91. So.
Cool. Okay. Wolverine Origins number 10. This is the first appearance of Daken, who is the son of Wolverine, if you don't know. Mm-hmm. I guess people are just speculating that you know, he's bound to show up somewhere eventually. This book is selling for about $75 currently. There's a Soydom variant that's a bit less expensive at $50.
Yeah.
But there's a 1 in 100 variant that's selling for about $400.
I have that. And that, it's the Third Claw variant?
Third Claw variant, yes.
Have you seen that?
No.
Oh, I have it up on YouTube, and it's
all right. The
Third Claw comes out from the front of his wrist.
Oh, really?
Yeah, from like underneath, like on the inside of your wrist here.
Right.
And it's a gruesome image. Ooh. Cool cover, though.
Probably not comfortable.
Well, it never was for him.
Well, it shouldn't be, right?
Right.
We've talked about that before.
Yeah.
Exactly. I don't know where those things go when, like,
how do you bend your wrist?
He should never be able to bend his wrist.
Exactly.
Anyways, that's comics for you.
Yep.
All right. Paper Girls, issue number 1. This is Image Comics. There's an Amazon show. We've talked about it before, but they just announced their casting this week for this show. So this one is back in the spotlight and selling for about $25 right now. War of the Realms, New Agents of Atlas, number 1, selling for between $50 and $60 currently. Second prints are around $10. Wolverine, number 6. This is the current series. This is one of the Ten of Swords tie-ins. And it's the first appearance of Solemn, and is now selling for about $12.
Hang on a second. I'm just putting the image back. I screwed up with my images. So the one on YouTube right now is the War of the Realms cover?
New Agents of Atlas, yes. Yep.
I have that cover.
Okay.
I have all of those covers. Damn it. the Wolverine, it's Chadwick Boseman in memoriam, rest in peace.
Oh, cover. Yeah.
For the Wolverine one.
Cool. Right. It should be a Ten of Swords, chapter 3.
Yep. Yep. Moving on.
Okay. We're on. Master of Kung Fu. Number 26. This is the first Cursed Lotus. Decent copies are selling right around $50. Dark Avengers number one. This is the first appearance of Iron Patriot, selling for between $50 and $60. Yep. Marvel Superhero Secret Wars number seven. This is the first appearance of the Julia Carpenter Spider Woman. This is selling for between $40 and $50 for raw copies.
And spoilers, they write it right on the cover.
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah.
They're like, all new Spider Woman.
Yeah, this was the '80s. There was no chill back then. They just put it out there. A CGC 9.8 copy of this sold yesterday for $355. So
wow,
it's quite a bit. Ghost Rider number one, Fear Itself. This is the first Alejandra Jones Ghost Rider, selling for $50. And lastly, Monstrous number one from Image Comics. For no particular reason, this is back in the limelight again, selling for between $50 and $60.
Okay.
That cool. is it.
For the cover I put up there was from 2015. Is that the wrong one?
Yeah, it's a new. Yeah, it's that's right.
Okay.
It's the original fairly cover. New series. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I say new. It's 5 or 6 years old now.
But, right. Right.
Yeah. In comic years, that's like dog years. You know, 5 or 6 is pretty young in comic years.
Yeah. So. Exactly. I know. We're old, John.
I know. We are. Okay.
All right. Let's get to FOC.
All right. First book is from Dark Horse. This is The Witcher, Witcher's Lament, issue number one of 4 issues, and there's multiple covers. DC Detective Comics 1036 has a Lee Bermejo variant cover, and Harley Quinn number 3 has a Derek Chu variant cover. New series, we have Milestone Returns, the Infinite Edition one-shot, has multiple covers, and then Mr. Miracle, The Source of Freedom, number 1 of 6 with 2 covers.
Mm-hmm.
Marvel has variant cover for Darth Vader number 12. This is the Chris Sprouse Empire Strikes Back variant cover. And then new series, we have Reptile, issue 1 of 4.
That's the one I told covers. You about.
Yeah, you did a while back.
That kid. Yep.
Yeah.
He's a pretty cool kid.
He is. I forget what book he was in, but after we talked about
it. Yeah, it was Spider-Man.
One of the Spider-Man books.
Yeah, it was a Spider-Man book because he teamed, like, that's who he wants to be like.
It had to do with the King in Black stuff.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah, he saved an old lady and Spidey shot him out of the sky.
That's right. okay, from Image Comics, we have Made in Korea, issue number 1 of 6 with 1 cover. Scout Comics, we have Midnight Western Theater, number 1 of 5 with 1 cover, and Rabid World, number 1 with 1 cover.
Okay.
And then lastly, from Vault Comics, we have The Blue Flame, number 1 with multiple covers. And that is it for
that was the name of my Chevette.
The Blue Flame, yeah.
Mostly because it was on fire, but...
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
All right. All right. Actually, now we'll get to checkout this week, but all we're going to do is plug next week's books.
Yeah,
I have the two that you put up.
Yeah, so a couple of books that come out today that I'm looking forward to reading, and we'll talk about them next week. Both of these are from Image Comics. The first one is Helm Greycastle. And the second one is Summoner's War Legacy. Both of these are first issues.
And that'll do it for checkout. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Actually, I'm looking forward to Robin comes out today too, right?
Yes, Robin comes out. Definitely going to read that.
I can't wait for that.
I mean, there's a bunch of other books. Like Shadecraft 2 is out. I'm really looking forward to that. As well as even Berserker number 2 I'm looking forward to. So,
Berserker number 2 is today.
Yeah,
we'll get better at this. I should have done more for checkout for what I'm looking forward to today, but we're just trying to get it on the fly here. And obviously, we'll talk about a bunch of books next week when we get to checkout. I think this is going to work well because it's like I mean, I know I'm looking forward to Robin. It's actually out today. I could have read it.
Yes.
I just
Robin
haven't
DC
it.
Books are out in some stores on Tuesdays. Like I said, I don't put mine out until Wednesday.
Yeah.
But if you subscribe to them and they're in your box, you can pick them up. But I don't put them on the rack until Wednesday.
Well, so. Cool. Keeping it fair.
I try to.
That's cool.
Again, I just don't want people to feel like they have to come 2 days in a row to get their new books.
Right.
So.
Cool. All right. Well, that should do that. That little quick jump right there for this week. Are you ready to, what do we do next? Real world, right?
We're all out of sorts here. I know, all out of sorts.
All right. Let's get to real world. John, what did you watch this week? Besides Falcon, Winter Soldier.
Not a lot this week because, as we previously discussed, I spent a lot of time on Sunday outside on my patio.
You got screwed.
But yeah, of course we'll talk about him. Obviously, I watched Falcon, Winter Soldier, and I watched Invincible. Got caught up on a couple of shows. Like, we watched two episodes of Big Sky. I didn't realize when it came back last week that it dropped two episodes.
Oh, it did?
Yeah,
so that's what Jen and I are probably going to watch tonight when we're done here, because we're done so early.
I know it. So, yeah, I watched a couple of episodes of Big Sky. Still really like that show. We watched Mortal Kombat on Sunday.
Oh, yeah, how was that?
After my adventures outside. Mortal Kombat was all right, I guess.
All right.
Did you watch it?
No, I haven't. I haven't had a chance yet. There's that I want to see. Mr. Nobody, I want to see.
I want to see
that's
that,
a
too,
rental, that's, though. That's 20
yeah, that's
bucks.
A rental. I looked at it, but I didn't want to pay $20 for it. So
yeah.
I'll watch it when it's...
I'm waiting to watch that one with Joe. If I'm going to pay $20, we'll do it together, you know? But Mortal Kombat, I want to get to it, but I got... deep, you know what movie I'm doing this week for my home theater podcast? Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm doing the 3D versus the 4K.
Okay.
And you all, I mean, everybody know it's a great movie unto itself. You could watch that movie on your phone. It's so good.
It's
the
awesome.
Story is so great. Everything about it. So I'm trying to, it's just such a project. Every time I sit down to talk about, to like do notes on it, I just get so in depth and I'm like trying to whittle it down. So I really haven't really watched anything else. It's either been on the computer or watching Into the Spider-Verse. And I love it. I'm not complaining at all. It's like, I'm loving it, but it's such a good movie that you just get so in depth. And then I'll go on Twitter and I'm like, oh yeah, Mortal Kombat's out. I'm like, I want to see that. And
Mortal Kombat was kind of like Godzilla. You know, although
great,
I didn't get to celebrate. It wasn't 420 when I was watching.
Oh, okay, so, I see. Yeah, well, you were already in a bad mood going into it.
kind of dumb, you know.
Well, but, it is Mortal Kombat,
Sub-Zero was really cool. Now, what I did notice is I didn't know this ahead of time, but the guy that plays Sub-Zero also plays one of the main characters on Warrior. So I actually really like that guy.
You're going to find a way to work that into every podcast.
Oh, well, no, but I'm saying
he's
a bad dude, man. Like he can fight. Yeah. He's pretty good. So yeah, he played Sub-Zero. It was fine. It was kind of dumb. Pretty good martial arts though. I don't know if you've kept up with any of the spoilers or the news sites or anything, but
no.
There was no real Mortal Kombat. Like, there was no tournament.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah. So that was a little weird. That
I think I did see that. I think I did see somebody say something.
Well, yeah,
because
there was a bunch of stories about
it's not really
how the writer
a spoiler
addressed.
If you haven't seen it.
Yeah, the writer addressed why there wasn't one, and that again, that's when the talks of like a second and third movie came up. But yeah, I don't know. Don't expect a lot. But it, you know, it's kind of if you liked the
look
first
who you're
one,
talking to.
Well, I know you like everything, so you'll probably love it. But I enjoyed it. I liked it honestly.
It was
dumb. You know, it was really dumb. So,
well, go figure.
Yeah,
I mean that's not surprising. I mean,
but
it's
it was fun.
Dumb.
Again, it was a fun movie. And again, that's the way I look at Godzilla. I thought Godzilla was pretty dumb too, but it was a lot of fun. And this was similar, you know. So
I'm looking forward to it. Let's just say that. But before we get to Kryptonite and all of that, I have one for you It's literally called The One. Have you seen that? Or the ads for it on Netflix? Uh-uh. Wow. Jen and I are watching this show. You and Lydia will, I think you'll love the show. It is literally, it's not something that you and I would be able to discuss here at length. But I have to imagine that you and I, once you and Lydia have watched it, you and I, we would, like, especially now if we record on Tuesdays, we'll stop recording the podcast and we'll talk for like an hour probably.
Yeah, it's the one.
So what the premise of the show is, they've invented a new way of matchmaking.
Okay.
It's through your DNA. You submit a strand of hair, and they match your DNA to the perfect match for you, and it's guaranteed. And the entire premise of the show is it's legit. It's not even a fake thing. They're showing you that, like, it you know, it's sci-fi. Let's just call it that.
Right.
And then you just get into, how does this work? And the idea of the show, there's murder, intrigue. They get into the behind the scenes. Like, any question that you could have, imagine if all of a sudden this came out, right? They do it. They think of it in the show. Like, imagine you saw on the news today that you could do this. What do you do? You're married. We're married, right?
Yeah, but what do you do? I don't know.
It is insane. And it's like every time Jen and I came up with a premise, like, what if you were they did it in the show. And then you have to watch, there's this poor woman that is married, and you just feel awful for her. I won't give away the story part of her, but there's a bunch of stories going on, including the owner of the company, and she's like, it's just a crazy story how the company was made. It's the idea of it. But just that premise, imagine if you could just be guaranteed to find your match.
Right.
Would you do it? What are what's the morality of this? What does it do? It's crazy. And it was so much fun. We're still going through it. We're, I think, more than halfway through it now.
Yeah.
It's on Netflix, and it's really good. Really.
Take a look for it. Yeah.
I think you and Lydia will love it. It's definitely a couple's show, of course.
Right.
But it's sad. It's funny at times because you're like, oh, I saw that one coming.
Right.
But I was just like, so that would be a good one for us. I'd love to talk to you about that off air.
Nope.
Not really comics, because it literally is like real life. Like, would you do that?
Yeah.
So maybe we'll talk about it someday.
Okay.
But that was it for me. Falcon Winter Soldier. I finished that up. You want to get into that next?
Yeah, because I didn't watch a bunch either. So.
All right. Where is it? Oh no. I can't find my. Oh, there it is. Let's get into Falcon Winter Soldier. I didn't want to miss out on that sounder for the last time.
Yeah.
All right. Spoiler free before, because we'll do a lot of kryptonite. Spoiler free. First question. Falcon Winter Soldier, WandaVision.
I still like WandaVision.
Yeah.
I still like WandaVision. Falcon Winter Soldier turned out to be a lot better than I expected it to be.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I always knew that it's Marvel, right? So they're all going to be good. But this actually tackled some things that I didn't think they were going to get into. You know, we talked about it a little bit last week with the racial stuff, and it was a little heavier than I thought it was going to be. But yeah, I don't know. It ended up being, I enjoyed it more than I was expecting to. So yeah, I was pretty happy with it, but still, I think WandaVision was just a cut above. I know a lot of people are saying the opposite. Like online, a lot of people didn't like WandaVision and thought this was great. And maybe it's, you know, I want to say two different audiences, but it's not really. But they're very
people.
Different types of shows.
Right.
And not everybody likes the type of show that WandaVision was.
Right. Well, I'll tell you right now.
This was more of a leave your brain at the door every week and just watch it. Fun stuff. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Where, you know, WandaVision was not like that. So,
although I will say this turned out to be a much smarter show than you expected.
That's what I mean. It ended up being more than I expected. But
see, I would say my overall feeling about this is basically flatline across the board from, you know, episode 1 to 6. I would say it's flatlined, and I'm not saying that's bad. It's just, it never peaked for me. It never really got me super excited, but it never dropped either. Like, and that, like that flatline is pretty high because I had high expectations coming in.
Right.
But it didn't wane, but it didn't really go like, oh, I can't wait for this. It's like, I mean, even, right, we'll get into that part in Kryptonite. I almost dropped something, but not that anybody hasn't seen it. But at the same time, WandaVision, I felt they kind of dropped the ball. Their finish wasn't as strong, but it was almost through no fault of their own. It was such heavy speculation that we all ruined it for ourselves because there was no big reveal at the end. There was no big cameo. There wasn't. So we had that little bit of a drop at the end where you were like, huh? But it still was a great show because it did have, you want those highs and lows as you go through a show. You know what I mean? Whereas even if it's great and all the way through, and that's how I feel about Falcon Winter Soldier. I feel it was great all the way through, but you just don't have that same, like, there's no love hate as you're going like, oh, I don't like.
Well, and there was, no real big anticipation for the next episode.
Right.
Like I mentioned it like 2 weeks ago, I think, where like I just forgot to watch it on Friday because like I wasn't really looking for it. You know, I mean, I remembered it and I watched it the next day and it was still a great episode, but it was like Falcon, I mean, like WandaVision. Like you knew it was Friday. Like you weren't going to forget to watch it, you know?
Yeah. On Thursday,
like,
you were
kind of counting down the days from the previous week, you know? Whereas with this one, you know, like I said, the day Friday went by and I kind of just forgot to watch it. And, you know, and again, like you said, no indictment on the show being good or bad or anything like that. But it just didn't have the same excitement for it every
week.
Didn't
have the gravitas.
Yeah. All in all, it was really good. I mean, obviously it sets up some pretty important things going forward in the MCU.
Yes, we talked about that earlier.
Yeah.
It actually sets up, I know we're getting Captain America 4, but it also sets up like Captain America and the Winter Soldier season 2. I think so too. That's the announcement I want to get. And I'm hoping that now, I mean, because we know Captain America, I mean, we already talked about it. It's not a spoiler, but it is a spoiler, but we already talked about it. I'm hoping that was what they were saying at the end of the show, is that there will be a Captain America and Winter Soldier show.
Sequel well, maybe, to this. Because, hopefully. Like, we don't know. Like, you know, Sam goes on into the cinematic, right? Like, Captain America, his story will continue in the movies. We don't know where Bucky's story continues. Another thing I read today, which made sense, and we're even doing it right now, like, they need to stop calling him the Winter Soldier. Like, that shouldn't be his title anymore. It shouldn't actually be Captain America and the Winter Soldier. He's not the Winter Soldier anymore. It just should be Captain Bucky, right? The White Wolf, I guess, or whatever he's going by. But
maybe that'll be season 2 because, I mean, he dropped his... Well, let's get into that in Kryptonite. I was just going to... We'll do that. Yeah, we'll do that because then I want to get to Invincible... episode 7, so we only have one of those left.
Yep.
That's a great, great show for anybody that's not watching that.
Yeah, and a great episode. Episode 7 was really good.
Yeah, I got some questions for you for that one. But yeah, all right, let's do that. Let's get into all of that. So, hey, it's been Wednesday. It's Wednesday. You're getting the podcast early. Let us know what you think. You can tweet at us at Brightside_chat, or you can tweet at John directly at Arkham Comics with an X. Tell him how happy you he made you with all the money he made you
all
today.
All the money I made you today.
Yeah. And if you need to, you can go to Arkham Comics and Games. You can
spend it.
You know, right there. It's great.
Make me money too.
If you'd like to, if you need to use more than 280 characters, you can email us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. So, and if you, I mean, depending on how many zeros are behind how much money you made today, you might have to use an email. So
you might.
And don't forget, go to nerdylegion.com. Check out all the great podcasts there.
I don't know what denomination. I don't know what you would call it if your money went to the 280th place. Like, I don't know how many trillions that would be. But
let me check my bank account.
Yeah,
you can go negative that far too.
That's true.
And we're on YouTube.
Well, that would just be the USA, right?
Yeah,
that would just
exactly.
Be America.
That's true.
We're negative 280 characters.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, we are on YouTube, so go there, check us out. We picked up a few more subscribers, John. We're up to 15.
Yeah, well, two of those was Lydia and myself. So.
Yeah, I don't know if Jen's joined yet.
Yeah, I had Lydia join, and then I joined with my personal.
Well,
account,
I saw you joined. I got the alert for it, and I thought you joined my other one, my home theater one. I was like, he joined ours.
Yeah. I thought I joined yours a couple weeks ago.
You might have. I didn't know, because I get alerts for both of them, because I'm running both the pages.
So we're up to 15, but two of them are me and my wife.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, John, when we get up into the 20s, that won't matter.
Right. It can't be me anymore.
Right.
I'm at my limit.
If we could get an account for all your grandchildren, we probably could start getting money.
We could break 50. Yeah.
I know. All right. That'll do it. We will be back next week on Wednesday morning. We're making you more money. All right. Have a great week, everybody. And we'll be back in a few seconds with Kryptonite Key Club with lots of spoilers.
Live long and prosper.
Hey, Fred.
All right, John. Is that door locked?
No, because I'm still open.
Oh!
It's Tuesday afternoon.
Oh! Yeah, well, we got
to
keep the people out.
Yeah, we exactly. Hide in the back and talk spoilers.
We're in the closet. Okay.
Last week we came out. Now we're back
We're back in the closet again. All right. Kryptonite Key Club. Spoilers galore. Let's hit Falcon Winter Soldier first.
Okay.
All right. Falcon Winter Soldier. What we were just saying before, where I almost dropped the ball, is we were talking about Bucky and saying how he's not the Winter Soldier anymore, but he kind of was throughout the entire series, and maybe that could be the second series where he sheds his name. He sheds the Winter Soldier name, because what I almost dropped the ball was he gave the book back to his therapist.
Right.
Which was Steve Rogers. It's funny, the opening series, or the opening of the series, they showed him with the book, and he's writing in it. And I immediately thought, I'm like, hey, that's just like Steve's book. Right. And it turns out, you find out as it goes on, it was his book. He was using it for a completely different reason. And I think that's why he is still the Winter Soldier. Because he's still dealing with the pain of being him. He can't shed that yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, he has his cathartic, his butterfly moment at the end, right? Where he goes and talks to the father of the guy that he killed. And, you know, we don't see that exchange, which I actually like. You know, I like that they did that off camera.
Right.
Kind of, you know, you see him walking out of the building after the fact. But yeah, to your point, he has crossed all the names out of his book, and he returns it to his doctor, and indicating that he's turned the page and, you know, is moving on. So yeah, you're right. We'll see. Again, there's all kinds of wild speculation out there that we may get a John Walker Thunderbolts spinoff series. We could even get a second season of this without Captain America, and it could just be Bucky and Walker or something. You know, there's all kinds of theories out there. So the one thing that we know for sure is that, like, we're not done with these characters. If you saw the end of this episode, you know, they set up John Walker to go forward.
Like, yes.
They're not done with him. Contessa Louise Dreyfus gives him a black uniform, you know, which looks just like this other one, except it's black. But, you know, we have Zemo sitting in the raft, and we know he's part of the Thunderbolts. I really liked the...
Zemo sitting in the raft. Pulling
Zemo's
strings.
Alfred, yeah, Zemo's yeah. Alfred goes out there and like kills everybody, which was
that,
awesome.
It's funny you that know? You said that too, because that's what Joe was like. Who was that guy? I go, that's Zemo's Alfred. Right. That's exactly.
I told
what
my wife, I told Lydia too. I said that's Alfred. That's Zemo's Alfred.
Exactly. So yeah, he's still. I thought that was really interesting. Is that he's pulling the strings from the raft.
Right, because, so, like, I can't imagine
we
he
said
has,
that earlier,
like,
Wi-Fi
or anything,
strings.
Like, how he's getting his news out from the raft, you know?
Well, that's what I mean, but you had speculated, and we talked about earlier in the season, that maybe Zemo orchestrated all this, talking about him being the, what you call it?
The power broker?
The power broker, yeah. And maybe he could have pulled some strings here, and maybe he still did. He might have pulled the strings to get himself out the first time because he wasn't in the raft.
Right. I mean, so, we do find out that Sharon is the power broker, which is no big drop, really. Like,
and
we've
that's what kind of helped with that flatline idea that I said. Like, who didn't know that?
Right. We've known that for at least 3 weeks. We've been talking about that she's the power broker.
I think we would add a big spike in my analogy of flatline. I think we would add a much bigger spike if it actually turned out to be somebody we hadn't
somebody
seen
else
yet,
right,
you know, and you were like, oh, it's like you know, anybody,
because now the big thing is, you know, is it Sharon or is she a Skrull? Like, that's the big question now, right? Because we do have Secret Invasion coming up, but we also have Armor Wars coming up, so she could be a Skrull and that could lead us into Secret Invasion, or she could just be bad guy Sharon and she could play a part in the Armor Wars show that's upcoming.
Right. And that's I think a lot of people are like me with Invincible, where you don't want to believe
they
that
want
she's
her
bad.
To be a Skrull so that she doesn't can... have to be the bad guy.
But if she's not the bad guy, maybe she's dead.
Well, that's the thing too, because if she's a Skrull, right? Where is Sharon, you know?
Right.
But I kind of want her to be Sharon. You know, and maybe to be, you know, the bad guy.
See, I think that's an interesting story, but I don't like it for the Carter name.
Well, and it's
really
very contrary
don't.
To the comics, right? Because
right.
She's never been that in the comics. You know, she's always been Agent Sharon Carter or whatever. I mean, she's always been kind
I
of
I thought there was a storyline where she fought with Steve.
I don't know. Comics. Again, we've talked before. I'm not a big Captain America reader. I'm not super familiar with all that, but I don't recall her ever being, you know, on the other side of the law. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If anything, it'd be Maria Hill. You know, Maria Hill kind of walks the line sometimes, but Sharon really never has. But again, you know, these are different. These are not the comics. We've talked about it before. You know, they borrow from multiple storylines and, you know, blend them into something unique for these shows. So, but yeah, I don't know. Again, like you were saying, a lot of people just want her to be a Skrull, so she doesn't have to be, you know.
Right.
She doesn't have to be the bad guy, but. And we don't know what her motivations are. Like, we don't know who she was talking to on the other end of that phone. Was it Contessa Louise Dreyfus? Was it whoever? We don't know, but you know, it didn't sound good, you know?
No.
Obviously sounded like she wasn't up to, she was definitely walking the line, so.
She's not good, like, at the end there, where she's walking out of, like, the Senate hearing or whatever, right. Where she gets pardoned, and she walks out, and she's like, I have access to all of the... Right. Military, you know, the high grade military stuff, everything.
Yeah, there's no good reason for that call. You know?
No. And that's clear. It's, but like you said, it's like, is she really a Skrull or is that wishful thinking of people going, no, not Sharon too.
Yeah.
Shift gears a little bit. The entire, like, the action part of the show, of the finale, yeah. And they have their big face-off there in New York City. Were you thinking what I was thinking?
Was I don't, so you cut out. I didn't hear
I said,
you said,
were you thinking what I was thinking?
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
Joe and I were thinking it.
Oh.
That was a pretty good face-off.
Yeah.
Lots of action. Spidey wouldn't drop by?
Oh, yeah.
It's his city.
Yeah. A lot of destruction, a lot of things going on.
Yeah. And they got the stuff going on in the streets, and you have the high buildings. Great place for shooting webs and swinging in and helping out. And, I mean, maybe, you know, it wouldn't have been hard for him to pull a car back with a web.
Right.
Or even, you don't even have to have him, Tom Holland, show up. Just have a web.
Right.
Pull it back. And you would have been like, thanks. And that's it.
Awesome.
And I would have been, oh, it would have been Daredevil all over again.
Yeah.
You know, book three.
Well, even any of those, any of the Defenders, any of the...
Anybody.
New York City, right? They're all based in New York, every one of them. So somebody could have popped in to see what was going on.
Joe said that about Daredevil, and he's like, what about Matt Murdock showing up or something? And I was like, well, he's more Hell's Kitchen.
Right.
Which is fine.
Right.
Spidey is New York.
Exactly.
Gets around. You know, it's like, and Hell's Kitchen is in New York. So when he pops in there, you're like, all right, cool. But it's, you know, that would have been such a nice little nod. And it is kind of weird.
He knows those guys. You know what I mean?
I know. Yeah. They work together. I thought of that when they were running down the street. He fought those two.
Exactly.
Remember? And they were like, who is this guy? Why is he talking so much? Remember in Civil War.
Civil War. Yeah.
They fought at the airport in Germany, and it was great. It would have been great to have them on the same side here, even if it was just like a drive-by.
Right.
A
swing-by.
Yeah. And what was funny is when Sam says he's talking in his ear or something, I think, to Bucky, and he's like, I called a friend for some help.
Right.
And Joe and I went, yes. And then Sharon takes the mask off.
Right.
And you're like, oh. Like,
no. That's not the friend I was hoping for.
Exactly. It's like, I don't know. I just thought that was a missed opportunity. Let's just
say. For sure. Yeah, for sure.
That, if they had done that, that to me, almost a Mark Hamill appearance.
Yeah.
We all would have been like,
that's the cameo we were waiting for in WandaVision. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. Had they done that, we would have been like, they could have even done that end credits. Like, sorry, I was late, guys. Because Spidey's always late.
Right.
That was too bad. One other thing, not one other thing. We could keep talking, but I had a John moment.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it wasn't good. So
see if I ran into the same moment. So
we got we have Sam holding an entire vehicle.
Yeah.
And you know, he's got his jetpack, his new Wakandan jetpack on.
Yeah.
And he's like holding this thing up and he pushes it back. He has no serum. How did he do that?
That's what I said too. I actually ran. I said the same thing when I saw it. I said
your arms could not. His arms cannot hold a vehicle.
Right. He doesn't have those powers, right? Like,
right.
Maybe the jetpack could help him pull it back, but he's like, there's no way his arms wouldn't just snap off.
The jetpack is the equivalent to his feet being on the ground.
Right.
And then his arms going, I'll move the, or even just lock your arms on it. And can he squat? You know, you can't. You couldn't. Right. His arms would have broken.
It's like he didn't get super strength anywhere. Like, he's actually not Captain America when it comes to that. You know, you know, he's Captain America and everything else. But speaking of Captain America, we got a little sneaky reveal of where Steve Rogers has been. He's on the moon. Yeah.
Yeah, what was that?
Apparently he's on the moon training somebody. I don't know, but when he says, who are you? He says, I'm Captain America. And the dude says, I thought Captain America was on the moon.
Yeah, I heard that, but I thought that was a reference to something earlier in the series where somebody, that was in,
something
like, the Inquirer or something. Yeah.
Something I read after the fact connected it to Steve. I don't know what he's doing up there. He's still an old man to be up on the moon. But
the old man on the moon?
Old man on the moon. Speaking of on the moon, I'm going to sidetrack us for a little bit.
Look at you with the segues.
Well, a little bit of real world, something I forgot.
Oh, boy.
The finale for All Mankind, season 2, wrapped up this week. If you haven't started watching that yet, that is fantastic.
We haven't started that
Apple TV. It's a really good show. But yeah, season 2 finale, we watched that this past week, too. So. Cool. Yeah, so some real world for the Kryptonite crowd.
Cool.
Yeah. But yeah, I thought that was funny that we find out where that Steve's up on the moon doing.
Or yeah, that comment anyways.
Yeah.
What that could mean.
Because even if he was up there on the moon, how did that dude know? how does a random street guy in New York know that Steve's up on the moon?
That's what I mean. I thought that was a reference to. It could be my memory mixed in with other things, Twitter or whatever, but I thought there was a reference earlier and it was like, that was just the rumor. And like the rumor that people are talking about, like, oh, and then they were making a joke about it later. Obviously in the last episode, they're like, oh, I thought he was on the moon. And I thought somebody had made that comment earlier in the series.
Yeah.
That's how I took it when I heard it. So.
I don't know. Like I said, I kind of glossed over it when I was watching the show, but it was after the fact when I was reading, something online, they were talking about it.
Okay.
Well, I was just saying, one of the best moments of the show for me, actually, was the end. Like, I loved the moment with Isaiah. But I loved the idea, the moment where they took Isaiah to see his, which I knew that's what they were doing. As soon as Sam says, "Hey, we got to go," I said, "Oh, they're going to the Smithsonian." He got himself an exhibit. But that moment, and then with the hug and all that stuff, I was like, "That was pretty touching moment." I thought that was one of the best parts of the whole show. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, so. it was really cool. It's like I was like, "How do you get that statue made?" But
that fast, But, he knows people in high places, and he's Captain America. So
there was also no time stamp on that. They didn't say, it could have been a month later.
Right, it could have been months later.
Yeah, I said, because I did say it out loud, and Joe goes, well, he's Captain America.
Yeah, that's what I said. He called Wakanda, they built it overnight and flew it in,
Exactly. But, yeah, that was a really cool, that entire premise, I thought was awesome. I thought it was so well done.
The Isaiah Bradley stuff.
The Isaiah Bradley.
It actually makes me want to go back and read that. Well, I actually want to go back and read that arc in the comics. The truth. I think it's truth something, or might just be truth. But watching the show doesn't make me want to go back and read a whole bunch of Captain America. But I definitely want to go back and read that storyline.
Was it Red, White, and Truth, or something like that, or
something like that?
Yeah.
But, because I'm really kind of interested to see what that, what the whole story
I thought Mackie's monologue there that he did right after the battle, right in New York, I thought was fantastic.
Yeah.
It was so, regardless of your race, what side of the aisle you're on, any of that stuff, it's like it hit everybody. I thought it was a well-written piece. I thought it was very, poignant, and I couldn't help, and the whole time I'm thinking it, I'm like, he is so right, right?
Right.
But at the same time, I'm laughing going, the acting chops on this guy to be able to deliver such a powerful piece wearing that getup.
I know.
Know what I mean? Like, that's a legit speech that you would be like, he's citing Malcolm X. He's citing all these, it's like all this powerful stuff. And he's standing there and he's just, in this like white leather.
Well, because not everything like I that going back to that costume, that is very comic accurate.
Absolutely.
But not everything that's comic accurate translates well to live action.
That's what like, Joe and I
thought
are saying.
The suit overall looked great, but the open head mask doesn't translate well in live action. You would get the same thing with like if they did that with like Wally West or something, you know, for the Flash.
Right.
Like they do that in the comics a lot and it looks fine in the comics, but yeah, the whole time I was watching that, I was just like, why isn't that just a full head mask? Like, just
going to bang his head.
Because first of all, right, you're not protecting anything.
Right.
Like, why? Like, what's the purpose of the mask? Like, with Steve, it was actually like a helmet. It was reinforced.
That guy actually had superpowers, and they gave him a full helmet.
And he actually had a head that could probably take a hit from a lead pipe. Sam, on the other hand, right, doesn't have anything on his head that can protect him
and he flies
well and he flies number three everybody knows who you are, like the mask isn't hiding your secret identity,
right?
So it has to be for protection, and if it's not protecting your head, what's the purpose of it, you know?
I know,
because even Steve, everybody knew he was Steve, but it was reinforced to protect him, you know?
Right.
it's like wearing a helmet in the army or whatever, you know? So
right.
Yeah, and then like you said, to be given that speech, the whole time I'm just staring at the top of his head, like, why is your dome hanging out, you know? Like, it just doesn't make sense.
It doesn't take away from the speech, like I said, it is comic accurate. It is.
Know?
It's
and that's
dead
what they're
on. Because Joe had to look it up. I go, no, that's comic accurate. But Joe looks it up and he goes, yeah, it is. I go, I know, it's accurate. It's just the ears sticking out.
Yeah.
The top of his head. The whole time he's flying, even in the opening scene of the entire series on, you know, episode one, his head's exposed.
Right.
And you're like, this guy's flying around with jets. The guy in the jet has a helmet on.
Exactly. Like, aren't your ears cold? Number one, don't you have, like, frostbite on your ears or anything?
You know what happens when you get hit with a bug? Ride a motorcycle at, like, 80 miles an hour, and when a bug hits your face, it hurts.
Yeah.
What does it feel like when you're flying around with jets?
Right.
It's not good. But yes, it's comics. But yeah, I mean, I loved that speech. Did you think that the like race thing was overdone? I thought it was perfect.
I don't think it was overdone. I mean, I think it hit, you know, again, this is a, you know, obviously it's a touchy subject in our country these days. So,
and that's why I thought it was so well done.
Right.
I don't think it wasn't trying to, like, I just thought it was,
in a lot of cases,
accurate.
Like, I find myself frequently complaining about a lot of TV shows that I watch lately because I feel like I'm getting beat over the head with agendas a lot. And, like, I don't want that in my entertainment. But I didn't, like, when I was watching this, I didn't feel like that's what they were. I don't know. I didn't get the same feeling for some reason, you know?
Right.
And it didn't feel gratuitous just for the sake of being there. Like,
gratuity.
You know, it actually, well, but it played a very part of the story. Right.
Right.
And
I mean, I thought it was very, you know, integral because of, it's something like, you know, like Sam and Bucky and Steve saying like, yeah, we didn't even consider that.
Right.
Because, and like we said a couple weeks ago, you said, like, because they just think he's Sam.
Right.
You don't think of him as a black man. You don't think of him as anything. You don't think, he's Sam. He's my buddy. He's my best friend. Oh, wait. Right. You know, Bucky's back. Now I have two best friends. So you don't even think of it that way. And it's just like, that's what comes up here. Just like the rest of the show, we don't think of the ramifications. When we went into this show, you're not thinking of the ramifications of the rest of the world when, you know, half the planet shows up again.
Right.
And that was great to see. You know
what
I mean?
And I thought even the guy, the senator, made some decent points about that when he was kind of his counterpoints to Sam, you know, when he was like, you know, you don't understand the big pictures of that. And, you know, Sam was like, you're right, I don't.
You're right.
Because, again, there's a lot there that you know, when we watched Endgame, it was just cool. You know, everybody was back, and it was just, like, awesome. Everybody's back. But you're right. You don't think about all the things that would have happened over 5 years. People being displaced by, you know, other people moving into their homes or what have you, you know.
Right.
Jobs disappearing. Like, that was just not something we ever really thought about. And if this show didn't exist, we probably still never would have considered that stuff. Because it wasn't part of the story of Endgame, and it didn't matter in that movie.
Right.
But, you know, it mattered here. You
that's
know,
what these movies, comics, that's what we do. We love it when our heroes, they save the day, but now we're fleshing out what happens, the ramifications for that. I mean, we did it a little bit, obviously, they did it building up to Endgame, where we talked about that's what Civil War was about, right? Because they had to pay the price. That's what BVS is about. Superman saved the day in Man of Steel, but then it's like you see the destruction he caused in Metropolis, and it's like our hero, they have to pay a price. And these shows and the expanded universe that we're getting because of these extra movies and shows out of the comic books, we're able to flesh out questions that you just never had when you were reading the books. You were just happy that Superman picked the car up and saved the girl.
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter that he dropped it and crushed the suspension and now the whole family had to get a whole new car.
Right. Who's paying for that?
Who's paying for that? Right. So, you know. And it's, I mean, and this one here, it's like, it didn't feel like it was like being slammed over your head. The race aspect or the idea of the, you know, it actually played to the, you know, the left and the right kind of ideals is what the two sides were talking about. That's what you're talking about. You're just talking about opposing sides. It doesn't matter if you're black or white or Republican or Democrat or, you know, Russian or American. It's like basically what Sam's saying is like, do you even think of why she's doing what she's doing?
Right.
You know, and that I thought that was really powerful, too, how he said that about a misguided young woman or whatever he called her, right? And it's like, he's like, but think of why she's doing what she's doing.
Right.
Think of why people are supporting her. You can't just bash stuff down because you don't like it. Think of why
she still
people
ended
are
up
doing
being
what they're
very,
doing.
Like, she, it wasn't exactly what I thought it was going to be. Like, in the very beginning, I thought, like, she was going to play a part in actually, you know, not being one of the bad guys necessarily. But, you know, in the end, she ended up kind of being a bad guy, but still, like, you felt for her. She was still sympathetic, and you understood what she was doing, and you kind of felt for her motivations. Now, again, you know,
she's not Thanos, but it's the same idea.
You go about things in the wrong way, but that doesn't mean what you're trying to do is wrong. Like, her intentions were good. It's just, you know, her actions, you know, I mean, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, right? Like, she didn't do things the right way, but the reasons why she was doing them were absolutely valid. And because she's gone doesn't mean somebody else is just going to rise up and take her place, because until things get fixed, there's always going to be somebody.
Are you 100% sure she's gone?
Well, we don't know.
They could bring her back. She's a super soldier.
But, you know, the thing is, there's always going to be somebody until that injustice is corrected. Somebody's always going to rise up and fight that fight. So, you know.
Yep. Yeah, great. I mean, it, like I said, it's, I think we kind of alluded to, I mean, we nailed it. It's like, it was a great show.
Yeah.
It just didn't have that peak. It just didn't have that, you know, Spider-Man appearance or something to give you that, whoa! It was just, and I mean, it was just a really good, great, consistent show that it didn't dip, it didn't wane, but it didn't peak either. So, but that's not bad. It's not bad.
No.
Looking forward to more, of course.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
All right. You want to touch on episode 7 of Invincible?
Sure.
All right. So, here we are again.
Yeah.
Another episode.
Yeah.
We have, let's say Omni-Man is still the perceived bad guy.
Yes.
Because he's perceived as bad because they have yet where every episode we get closer and closer to him trying to explain what he's doing, but he doesn't. Like when he was on the, in this episode, he's on the top of Mount Everest.
Right.
And you think he's talking to somebody and you're like, we're going to get it. And no, there's nobody there. He's just rehearsing it.
Oh, I knew that right along.
I know you did. I did too.
No,
I did
but I mean, I knew he was rehearsing the whole time. But
right. But even having never seen it or read it, I knew that too.
Right.
But at the same time, the writers are putting this in to be like, haha, we're going to lead them down. We're going to give you the reason. And it's like, now, is the payoff going to be the fact that, is that what makes this show great? Or this book? I'm sorry. What made this book great? Because he really is the bad guy? Because everything leading up to this is leading you in that direction. And instead of, well, actually, you didn't like it. We talked about this happened in the Hugh Grant show that we watched.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I didn't like that. Yeah,
you
I didn't like that one.
Because you're like, it turned out to be who exactly what you thought.
Right, right.
And you didn't like that. So do you see what I mean? It's like, I don't want you to give it up. I don't want you to go, oh, wow, that means, you know, one way or the other. Because if it turns out, like, this is the last episode, right? Friday?
This is the last episode for this season. So
they got to wrap it up. I mean, they can't have them talking on the top of Everest again.
I would bet my house that we know the answer by the end of the next episode. Like,
right.
He's going to... even this one ended, like, he was getting ready to have a discussion with Mark. Speaking of Mark, he also has the funny, like, half-head open mask, like Sam has.
But he's invincible. Superman doesn't have anything.
Well, right, he's invincible.
He's invincible.
Superman should fly around naked, honestly. Like,
right.
He doesn't need anything. But,
I know you would
but,
be.
But, yeah, Mark has the same half-head open mask,
right.
Too. So.
But he's invincible, though. That's different. It's like...
Yeah.
Sam is literally, he says, I'm just a man.
He's vincible. Yeah.
He's vincible.
He's vincible. But yeah, well, here, the only thing I'm going to say is that, like, with the Hugh Grant show, it turned out that he was the bad guy all along. Spoilers for something that came out
and I
like,
liked
6 months
that.
Ago. But that was the end of the show, right? Like, there was no more to it.
Okay.
All I'll say is... Whenever you get whatever answer you're going to get, it's not the end of the story. Like, there's
right.
145 issues of this. So
right, right.
It's not like you're going to say, oh, he was this, and that's it. Like,
right.
It's not written in stone. So that's all I'll say. But I don't know. Like, they're definitely leading you down a path. So
yeah, they're leading you down a path. I mean, Omni-Man has killed the bad some heroes.
Omni-Man, yeah.
Omni-Man.
Right.
But Cecil's killed more innocent people and beings just trying to keep up.
Right.
He's Cecil to me is like borderline evil himself. Because he's
well,
like,
even what's his name? His Logan's wife. I can't remember her name. She even says that to him. You know, well, that's why I've always hated you or whatever. And he says, well, that's why I always hate myself. You know, he knows what he is. Like Cecil knows what he is.
Right.
Like, he's working with the, you know, like I said last week. You know, the guy, the robot making guy, right? Who's a bad guy? Like Cecil's working with him, right? Because he feels like it's for the greater good. Like he'll do whatever it takes. He doesn't matter. He'll walk on any line. He'll do whatever. But he knows that about himself. So it's not like he's not trying to fool anybody with what he is. Whereas up until this point, Nolan has not told the truth, you know?
Yeah.
So he is, in a sense, trying to keep people from finding out what he is, you know?
But that gets into, like, when he just... I mean, he killed for the second time. Well, I don't know if he's dead. I don't think he's dead. Immortal?
Well, it's in the front name.
Yeah, exactly. He can't be dead. Right. I mean, the first time he got, quote, killed, he got his head ripped off and he came back. This time, he just got ripped in half. So that he should be able to... Deadpool recovered from that.
Yeah.
So he should be able to come back. He's going to come back from that. But the world seeing Omni-Man rip him, kill him, for all intents and purposes, right? Rip him in half. That is the... It kind of reminds me of the other... What's the name of the show? The superhero show where they're all bad. And what's it? Oh,
The Boys?
Yes, The Boys. Yeah. And... For Omni-Man, it's his image that he cares about the most, right?
Right, like Homelander. He
doesn't want the world to see. But I don't blame him. You can't have the world think. I mean, even if he has a reason for doing what he's doing, and we may not understand it, you can't. It's like there's stuff like there's X amount of rat droppings that are allowed into our food,
right?
Right, that means they're allowing rat droppings into our food,
right?
But they don't tell us that. They don't announce it. It's just that's one of the dirty little secrets that you find out. Like, wait a minute, that's allowed. It should be zero,
right?
But you know what I mean. So those are the
tolerable limit,
right? It's like but it won't hurt you. No, I think it will. I don't like rat droppings,
right?
But you know what I mean. So like, there's if they announce that, imagine if they said, "Oh, the leading brands." Allow 3%. We only allow 1. So you're advertising to me that you only allow 1% rat droppings. You're the best? Come on.
Right.
It's like Jimmy Zero. But you see what I mean? Like it's just the image. So right. I'm maybe he's just like, I know he killed all the good guys, the Justice League, but maybe that's just 1% rat droppings.
Right. Maybe.
No.
Well, he was kind of destructive in this episode, too.
Yeah, but, he was. But they're being destructive to him.
Right. You could argue he's only
You know what I mean?
Himself,
it's not like he's just standing there and he's like, screw it. I'm going to go destroy the world. I mean, they're basically that hammer that they dropped down, which is basically, they actually have something like that now. It's called a tungsten rod. Have you heard of that?
No.
Google it, like the weapon of dropping a tungsten rod from space, and it basically what they did. That wasn't a rod; it was actually like a laser, but it's the same idea. You drop this like telephone pole of tungsten from space, and by the time it hits the Earth, it decimates an entire city. It's right. Joe and I have had discussions about it. They said we actually argue about like if it did it in the ocean, wouldn't it just go right into the water? And he's like, no, because the way it's when it slaps the water, it's like slapping concrete. And even though it's only like as wide as it might be a foot wide, right? And you'd think it was like, no, they'd go in like a needle right into the ocean, right? No, boats for like a mile would get destroyed.
Right.
Crazy. But that's kind of what they just did. And they showed it destroyed cities. It destroyed. You saw all those animals dropping out of the sky and Cecil's just like, oh, well, you know, Omni-Man didn't do that.
No, it was Cecil.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I don't know. Can't tell you.
I can't tell you. Nope, but we'll find out.
You'll find out Friday.
You know what's really, we didn't mention this before Kryptonite. Isn't next Tuesday?
Tuesday the 4th is Bad Batch.
Yeah, and we're on.
We'll be recording, but I won't have had a chance to watch any of it.
Well, it should only be 20 minutes. Can we delay when you get home from work?
I think it's 70 minutes. I thought I read 70? Somewhere that I thought I read somewhere that the first episode was like 70 minutes.
It's up to you if we can.
That's like a movie, you know.
That's not like a movie.
Well, it is a movie, Well, but it's like a Clone Wars movie was like 70 or 80 minutes, you know?
Yeah, typically, so. Yeah, you're right. 70 minutes. That's actually 10 minutes shorter than a typical DC movie.
Right.
DCs are usually about $120, I think.
Yeah.
100. No, not 120 minutes. An hour and 20 minutes. Yeah.
Right.
An hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So that'd be an hour and 10. All right. Maybe not. It's up to you.
We'll see. Like, I don't know if
because I could eat dinner before we started, and then if that gives you time.
Yeah, but
to
then
watch.
We're
but
back
I know,
to,
yeah.
Then we're back to 8 or 9 o'clock again. You know, it's like this works out because Lydia should be walking in the door any minute.
Any
and
minute
we can have dinner. Yeah.
Right. Right.
So, yeah.
But yeah. So next week we're on again on, you know, Star Wars Day.
Star Wars Day, May the 4th. Yeah.
We were on last year too. That's when we showed your room off.
That's right.
So.
Yeah.
All right. Is that it? I'm really looking forward. Next week we have Invincible 8.
Yeah.
The finale.
And we should have the I haven't seen it yet, but we should have the gallery drop for Falcon Winter Soldier.
On Friday, maybe?
Yeah.
That'll be cool.
And then, you know, of course we'll have, well, I guess we won't talk about Bad Batch till the fall.
I'll have a spoiler-free analysis for you.
Cool.
I'll try. And we'll have books. More books. Plenty of books. All right. Is that it?
I think so.
All right. Let's get out of here before we have a snafu or something. We've been, keep our fingers crossed.
I know, we've been lucky.
Kinda.
So.
All right. See you guys next week.
All right. Take care.